From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. He won a Tony Award for playing Peter Allen in the Broadway hit The Boy from Oz, and he won the loyalty of comic book fans for his snarling portrayal of Wolverine in the X-Men movies. He can sing, dance, and save the world. It seems there's little actor Hugh Jackman cannot do. In his latest film, Australia, Jackman plays a cattle rustler called The Drover, a man who finds himself entangled with an aristocratic lady played by fellow Aussie actor Nicole Kidman.
I won't get another drove this late in the season, right? You've cost me my living.
Please, can't you just round them up?
Round them up, huh? Oh, round them up, yeah.
Yes, you just round go them get up. Them.
1,500 head of cattle.
Oh.
Scattered over 1,000,000 acres with just me and my two men. That's a great idea. Stupid
Mr.
cow.
Mr. Drover, I was...
The movie, directed by Baz Luhrmann, is a sweeping epic, but a little hard to describe.
It kind of starts high comedy, then it becomes high tragedy, there's romance, there's action. It's pretty much that banquet of cinema.
The movie is also a social critique. For much of the 20th century, Australia's government removed many Aboriginal children from their families, particularly those with fair skin. These children are commonly known as the Stolen Generation.
If your president-elect, Barack Obama, who's 47 now, if he was born in Australia with one black parent, one white parent, he would have been taken from his family. He would have been institutionalized, probably told his parents were dead, then made as European as possible or as white as possible, and then taken out to basically serve in a menial task in European society. So that didn't stop until the 70s. We didn't apologize to the Stolen Generation till this year. Our new Prime Minister, Kevin Rudd, in February this year, after we shot the film.
I hope you don't mind if I ask you a personal question, but when I listen to you talk about the fate of mixed-race children, I know that you and your wife have adopted a mixed-race son. And I wonder what life will be like for him going forward if he decides to settle in Australia.
It's a good question. And of course, I'm in Australia, and when Barack Obama won the election, I made my son sit down and my daughter to watch the news that night. And my son particularly watched transfixed. And he turned to me, he says, "Daddy, Daddy, is that really the first black president?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "He's my president, isn't he?" And I said, "Yes." And I just thought, it kind of gives me chills thinking about it, but the kind of hope and possibilities that that represents to someone like Oscar and many people across the world. We're sitting in a home in Sydney, and that was translated. So I can't begin to imagine what it was like here.
When you first started acting, I'm just going to ask you to reach back in your head, if you can, beyond the point where your face and your image was on these huge movie posters when you were just getting started as an actor. Your breakthrough role was not on film, but on stage. And in the Rodgers and Hammerstein classic, Oklahoma. And just to get you in the mood, I thought we'd listen to a clip of you singing.
Okay.
Hold on. Let's listen.
The corn is as high as an elephant's eye, and it looks like it's climbing clear up to the sky. Oh, what a beautiful morning.
Now there, are we listening to musical training or just the training that you had all these years singing in the shower?
A little bit of both.
Everything's going my way.
Probably what I loved the most about acting and the way I was trained as an actor, I'd go from doing circus skills to a Shakespeare class to a movement class to dance to singing. You know, it was every hour is let's throw on another hat and go. And of all the things I've ever done, maybe being a clown at kids' parties was probably the most challenging when I first began, but probably of all the things I've ever done professionally, acting in a musical for me is the toughest. And trust me, doing a song like Oh, What a Beautiful Morning, where every line is repeated, there's a bright golden haze on the meadow. Wow, there's a bright golden haze on the meadow. You know, it's not easy to kind of make each thought new and fresh. So, but by doing that, it certainly helped. So, I'm sorry, Michelle, I don't give short answers. I'm going on and on.
That's all right. But as I listen to you, I hear a certain joy in your voice when you talk about your work on the stage. Is that, do you have that same joy, experience that same joy when you're playing a role like Wolverine, which is dark and brooding? And
well, there's no doubt for me, if I had to give you my top 10 moments as an actor, all of them would be on stage. My top 100, all of them would be on stage. I mean, I can watch a final movie and see it done and kind of be thrilled with it and proud of it, but very rarely is the actual doing of it in a movie as satisfying. It's very segmented. Often you might spend a full day working on, say, a minute and a half of the finished movie, so you never get that full experience as an actor like you do on stage.
I'm just curious about Wolverine in particular, because this is a series of films and a character that has expanded your fan base. Mm. And I'm wondering what you would say to a 13 or a 14 or a 16-year-old boy who would come across you playing Peter Allen on stage or singing Oklahoma Full Throttle.
I can hear them cringing to hear me sing. In fact, I never forget this one night in the theater. Someone had obviously been brought. Maybe they said to their parents, "Man, Hugh Jackman, let's go and see that show." He's and said, "This is going to be so cool." And there's one scene where I kiss my boyfriend, and we were kissing on stage. And I'll never forget someone yelling out, "Don't do it, Wolverine!" I don't think it was a 13-year-old. He sounded more like about a 30-year-old, but it was. I laughed a lot, let me tell you.
But did you stay in the moment on stage?
No, I laughed. It was the longest kiss in the history because I couldn't actually exit the kiss because I was laughing. So I kind of just, you know, literally just stayed there in the kiss, kind of waiting until it subsided. The audience kind of knew what was going on too. It was sort of an undeniable moment. You couldn't ignore it.
Well, I could talk to you all day, but before I let you go, I just wanted to ask something. Do I have this correct? Did you plan at one point to be a radio journalist? If things hadn't worked out for you in Hollywood, might we be hearing you reporting from some far-flung destination on the Beeb or maybe even here on NPR?
You know, you are exactly right. Being a stringer for, say, NPR or the BBC or Radio National in Australia, I thought was about the ultimate job. I actually majored in journalism. I used to file reports on our radio station, which we had at the university. And so I thought I was going to go into it, and I went to do an acting course really to stall the possibility or the idea of going to work as a journo. So you never know. I might get back there.
If Hollywood ever loses its lure, we still have a microphone waiting for you here. So,
thank you. Thanks for
having
me.
Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
To hear more of my interview with Hugh Jackman and to see scenes from his latest movie, Australia, go to our website, npr.org. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.